We stooped under the makeshift tent. Soraya and Khala Jamila drifted toward an overweight woman frying spinach bolognese. Sohrab stayed under the canopy for a moment, then stepped back out into the rain, hands stuffed in the pockets of his raincoat, his hair, now brown and straight like Hassan's, plastered against his scalp. He stopped near a coffee-colored puddle and stared at it. No one seemed to notice. No one called him back in. With time, the queries about our adopted and decidedly eccentric little boy had mercifully ceased. And considering how tactless Afghan queries can be sometimes, that was a considerable relief. People stopped asking why he never spoke, why he didn't play with the other kids. And best of all, they stopped suffocating us with their exaggerated empathy, their slow head shaking, their tisk-tisk, their "oh gunge bichora," "oh poor little mute one." The novelty had worn off. Like dull wallpaper, Sohrab had blended into the background. I shook hands with Kabir, a small silver-haired man. He introduced me to a dozen men, one of them a retired teacher, another an engineer, a former architect, a surgeon who was now running a hot dog stand in Hayward. They all said they had known Baba in Kabul, and they spoke about him respectfully. In one way or another, he had touched all their lives. The men said I was lucky to have had such a great man for a father. We chatted about the difficult and maybe thankless job Karzai had in front of him, about the upcoming Loya Jirga, and the king's imminent return to his homeland after 28 years of exile. I remembered the night in 1973, the night Zahir Shah's cousin overthrew him. I remembered gunfire and the sky lighting up in silver. Ali had taken me and Hassan in his arms, told us not to be afraid, that they were just shooting ducks. Then someone told a Mullah Nasruddin joke, and we were all laughing. "You know, your father was a funny man too," Kabir said. "He was, wasn't he?" I said, smiling, remembering how, soon after we arrived in the U.S., Baba started grumbling about American flies. He'd sit at the kitchen table with his fly swatter, watch the flies darting from wall to wall, buzzing here, buzzing there, harried and rushed. "In this country, even flies are pressed for time," he'd groan. How I had laughed. I smiled at the memory now. By 3 o'clock, the rain had stopped and the sky was a curdled gray burdened with lumps of clouds. A cool breeze blew through the park. More families turned up. Afghans greeted each other, hugged, kissed, exchanged food. Someone lighted coal in a barbecue, and soon the smell of garlic and morgh kebab flooded my senses. There was music, some new singer I didn't know, and the giggling of children. I saw Sohrab, still in his yellow raincoat, leaning against a garbage pail, staring across the park at the empty batting cage.